Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. Earth Wisdom Circles, as you may know, is really focusing on people and events that are really trying to make a difference in collaboration and bringing people together in our world to help to share wisdom, to help to make the needed changes that we have. And today is a perfect opportunity to speak about an event that I'm hosting in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And what I am doing is, this event is taking place the weekend of January 18th and 19th in 2020. And I am hosting Grandmother Sasa, who is a wisdom keeper and an elder, also known as a record keeper. Grandmother Sasa is of Abenaki, Irish, and Scottish descent on her father's side, and is Japanese on her mother's side. For most of her life, Sasa has been working with indigenous wisdom, understanding what is needed in humanity and how those changes have to take place. So to that end, 2020 is a perfect time to begin to bring wisdom keepers out into the world so that they may begin to share the information that is so needed for us to learn how to redirect and re-envision the world and the future that we can choose to create. So what Grandmother Sasa, and by the way, the name Sasa is not her given name. Sasa means white swan of the north. So it is a title, if you will, or a distinction of what her medicine is as a white swan. So I'll use this time as a little bit of education there. In the indigenous world, there is an understanding that we have an intimate connection with the animal kingdom, who are often referred to as sweet medicine. The animals are interrelated to us in terms of their sharing their presence in our world and can, with our awareness, make us aware of the power that they are willing to share with humanity. And every human has their own medicine that is often not the same as what people might consider a totem or something of that nature. This is such a big subject, I think I'll make this into another show at another time because I don't want to digress from what I want to speak about. But I wanted to help you understand that the name Sasa means white swan of the north. And white is a distinction of someone who holds wisdom. So what we will be doing January 18th and 19th in Farmington Hills, Michigan in 2020 is a gathering for what is called a woman's circle. A woman's circle is a place of power and of opening our hearts to the wisdom that we need to have as women in our challenging times. So let me help you to understand that a wisdom circle of and gathering of women is not in any way to exclude men, not in any way, because men have men's circles. For men to speak from their own personal experiences with other men in order to guide and to support and to train and to educate, the same is true with women. So the women's circles are not in any way to be exclusive, but rather to be guideposts and gatherings of safety for women to be able to speak of, you know, women of all ages, to come and speak and to share wisdom and experiences and to gain some insights about what they can do. So in ancient times, the beautiful purpose of wisdom circles and women's circles was to support women as they were going through different stages of life. So generally speaking, it would be women, once they have started menstruating, would be invited into the women's circle because that is a time where a woman, a young girl, has become blossoming into her womanhood and is capable of carrying life within her. So there is so many physiological, emotional, and spiritual changes that happen within the physical body of a woman. And it can be very confusing and very disconcerting if you don't understand exactly what's happening. Through the support and the love and the nurturance of other women, that person is cared for, that person is educated, and that person is supported as they're going through this very important time that makes it possible for human life to come forth on this planet. Without the sacred vessel of a female human body, life could not be born. So there's many, many layers of information and respect and support within a woman's circle. The other thing that is very important to note is that it is also a place of great respect and integrity and honor where people can openly speak about the challenges that they have. And in so doing, being given the opportunity to get direction, to learn what is referred to as self-leadership and self-responsibility. So to give you an example, if someone as a young woman, let's say, has fallen in love for the first time and does not understand what the nuances are of that and how the mind can be clouded and the emotions can be clouded when you're so enamored with another human being. This is beautiful, and this is part of life, and this is what helps us to find those individuals that would be best suited for us. However, there are times when we are in a potential mismatch, where the mind and the spirit and the emotions are entangled in the excitement of new relationships, but perhaps there needs to be some guidance. There has to be some clarity about becoming a part of a new relationship while holding your own autonomy, while holding your own presence, while holding your own spirit, so that the individual to whom you're attracted can do the same. They can hold their own integrity, their own strengths, and coming together in a different level of understanding that would be supportive of one another's gifts, talents, and respecting experiences and potential experiences about to unfold. There's also the opportunity for young women, perhaps that are pregnant, to understand what are the nuances of carrying life and what might your body be going through and how might you be able to care for yourself and allow others to care for you so that this new life can come forth in a healthy way. So it's all about inclusion, it's about educating, it is about collaboration and education. So also, ultimately what is desired is that there be, as time progresses, as an individual matures, that they begin to understand what their own personal powers might be, meaning what is their strength. Is their strength to be a leader? Is their strength to be one who prepares and cares for food? Is their strength in being someone who is a medicine person, like a healer? What is their strength? Because everyone cannot be everything. And to try to do so is impossible and will lead to anger and exhaustion. We see that in our world today. We see people put expectations on others that are not possible to attain. And so we have burnout. We have people in our world now disgruntled because they're being asked to do things that they're not capable of doing, or they're not capable of doing in the way that they need to with adequate time, adequate resources, and adequate support. We see this everywhere in our business world in particular, and in our medical world, and in our teaching. You know, there's too much and too little. Too many people, not enough resources. Too many expectations, not support from outside so that those expectations can be reached. That's another part of what women's circles are. But mostly, it's also to help others identify one another's strengths so that you can be in support of the sister or the auntie or the cousin or the friend or the grandmother or the child that you are with, so that you can begin to support their strengths, not in competition, but truly in being a champion for them to go through the necessary changes in order for that strength to blossom. And especially in our time right now of the great need for leadership. What many people do not realize, in many indigenous cultures around the world, it was the woman often who was the record keeper, who was the one who held sacred knowledge, not to be to lord that over any male. But the reality is that a man would be more likely to die. And then if he were to die, that information would be lost. Since a gentleman is more likely to be the one, as a man is more likely to be the one who is going out to hunt, to interact with a wild animal is dangerous. And to be working with weaponry is dangerous. To be in terrain that is the terrain of the animal kingdom is dangerous. So it is a position of honor, and women and men, by the way, because it was not only men who were hunters, but those who had the skill and the depth of their sensory awareness and able to pay attention to the nuances of the living world, they were the most successful hunters. And because of their strength and their wisdom, they were responsible and able to provide sustenance for the families that were in their charge. But it was never a position of leadership over someone. It was collaboration. It was true collaboration. It would be unwise to expect a young woman who had just given birth to strap on a bow and a quiver of arrows and ask her to go out and find life to support other life. That would not be wise. She would not have the strength, nor would she have the time to take care of the infant that is relying on her body to live. So we in our culture have separated ourselves from one another with distinctions of rank, with distinguishing tasks as superior or inferior to another, which is not true. We are all a part of this human experience, and we all can bring our gifts and our talents and our abilities forth without competition, so that there can be an ease of movement, there can be an ease and a security in the protection, knowing that we are protecting one another and not willing to do harm for one another. So these ancient wisdom circles, women's circles, were very important. And as we begin to step into 2020, I have kind of repeatedly coined the phrase hindsight, insight, clear sight, and foresight. In fact, there's an event that I'm going to be doing at CARES of Farmington Hills, I'm sponsoring it in January 15th, that I'll talk about at a later time soon. However, what I want you to know is this is the time for the wisdom of elders to come forward. This is the time where we're living in times of great peril. We're living in times of geological changes. We're in the midst of our earth morphing and growing and changing as she has always done. We have gone through ice ages. We have gone through times where continents have split. We have gone through times of feast and famine. We've gone through so many changes because the Earth is a living being that is affected by weather, affected by tectonic plate movement, by the living and moving presence of the heat in, within the core of the Earth. And we have, as humans, learned to adapt to the changes that are inevitable. The drastic difference, however, in our climate currently is that humanity has actively participated in the speeding up of these processes. So we are partly responsible for a natural occurrence happening sooner than it would. As we know, no one human being creates an earthquake. An earthquake erupts, there's the movement of plates, and an action and a reaction occurs, creating tsunamis and many other things, as we know, with terrible loss of life. But we have an opportunity to learn how to react and respond appropriately once these events have occurred so that we can continue to rebuild our lives, continue to make plans that are more adaptable to the likelihoods of events in various locales in the world. Just this past week, there was a huge eruption of a volcano in New Zealand where there was tremendous loss of life, where people were perhaps unwisely put within very close proximity to an active volcano, and it erupted. And within moments, people were vaporized. So we are not using wisdom to say, this is a dangerous place to be. This is not a place for humans to be right now. But we have been enticed to see the world as entertainment. The Earth is not entertainment. The Earth is beauty. The Earth is offering constantly to us opportunities for appreciation, opportunities to stand in wonder of a power far greater than we will ever possess as humans. But then to work with these powers. As in ancient times, great wise individuals learned to watch the way that waters move from the mountains down valleys and to create rivers and tributaries and lakes. And by watching what creation did, what nature did, they learned to create aqueducts. They created aqueducts that would funnel and move the waters from the mountains or the waters from various places and gradually make it possible for the water to be in a home or near a home and accessible to a human being. This was created by observation. This was created not just from someone's imagination, but someone's insight gained by watching what creation and nature is already doing. So there's so much for us to learn about ourselves. And since, as a woman and with other women, I have an opportunity and I believe to some degree a responsibility of bringing this information forward so that we can learn from women's circles. So, and it is my hope that men's circles will come to be formulated there in various places around the world that are not just talking about bravado, but talking about what does it mean to be a son? What does it mean to be a brother? What does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to stand in a circle of men, encouraging them to be their best, encouraging them to find their strengths and to overcome things that have challenged them in productive and healthy ways? This is the same that would happen in a women's circle, but with women only, in safety and in a protected space. And interestingly, always, without exception, women's circles were always protected on the outside of that circle by men. So men would make sure that there would be no intrusion into their space, that there no one could come that would do any harm to that space, of the individuals within that space, because they recognize that the women in those circles were their sisters, were their daughters, were their mothers, were their wives, were their grandmothers. So there was a level of integrity and respect that was a part of every circle and the circle around every other circle. So I would like to extend this invitation for individuals in the Michigan area or even outside of Michigan to come and to learn from Grandmother Sasa about ways that we can begin to create women's circles around our areas and around our country and around our world so that women can understand the commonality of our female lives, of how do we support one another as many women find themselves in challenging and sometimes frightening or dangerous situations. And how do we elicit the support of the men in our lives to stand with us and stand as both guardian and protector, not only because of not to say that women are frail, because some women are extremely strong, but if you look at the physical prowess of a male body and a female body, there is inherent strength that men have that is not possessed in a woman's body. But the strength in a woman's body is not in a man's body. So it is never against one another, but in support and collaboration of one another. So this event with Grandmother Sasa is going to take place at what is called the Mercy Center in Farmington Hills, Michigan. And this beautiful campus is a part of a large tract of land that is owned by the Sisters of Mercy. And the amazing things about the Sisters of Mercy themselves is that there are women who are highly educated, and many hospitals and hospital systems have been created and run by Sisters of Mercy because they understand the need for care. They understand the need for responsible, compassionate, intelligent care of those who are wounded, those who are sick, those who have challenges of all levels. So again, it's just a kind of reiteration of holding something in a place of power like this. One other thing that I want to share about the beauty of young women in medicine circles is that young women are often the mothers of the children right now. And in the inherent challenges and frustrations and exhaustion sometimes of caring for a young child, these women were also given the support to rest in women's circles. Other women would care for their children so that they could care for themselves. They would be given what they needed, especially a woman who had just given birth. Their child, their infant, would be taken care of by them, and the child would be brought to the mother when the child was ready to nurse. So imagine a woman had been through great labors and to birth a child. She would not be expected to go back to her work, her executive work, her workplace, and carry on as if nothing had happened. And that is common in our workplace now, that the respect for bringing life forth is just not there. And so it's a way of re-establishing this. So if you're interested in learning more about it, please feel free to go to my website, which is elainegroman.com. That is ELAINEGROHMAN.com. And if you go to the page that says events and more, click on that, you will see workshops, events, and various things that I am helping to coordinate and I'm also teaching. As a medicine woman myself, I have had the opportunity to spend a great deal of time with Indigenous elders and learn from them. And as a healer, as an intuitive, as an author, and certainly in this capacity as a radio host, I have the privilege of speaking, hopefully directly to your hearts about what it is that we are trying to do here at Empower Radio. And the essence of Empower Radio is truly to empower others, to empower us with wisdom, with intelligence, with integrity, with humility, and most importantly, with inclusion and joy. So this is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio, Earth Wisdom Circles. Please go out and make this end of this year powerful and important, and the beginning as we look to 2020, to open our eyes with full vision so that we can see where you have been and see where we are now and look to a future that we create for everyone. Thank you.